This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I've been taking a lot of ground balls at third. Just mainly to get my arm back in shape. But I played a lot more first base the last two seasons than I have over there. So just getting work in there. Like I said, stretching out my arm. Want to be comfortable over there in case something happens or I got to be over there.
Justin Turner, you were hoping he wasn't going to have to play a whole bunch of third base out the gate. But now with Matt Shaw hurt Nico Horner's hurt, and that's changing some of the dynamics now as the Cubs are actually, you know, counting the days before that opener in Japan. And it's been great to hear this guy's voice in the background of our lives once again. He is the color commentator for marquee broadcasts of Cubs games on the Marquee Sports Network, Jim DeShays. He's on Twitter at Jim DeShays and with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. JD, how you been?
I'm great, Dan. How are you guys doing?
We're good. And like I say, it's just been nice to start getting back into the rhythm of hearing baseball again. How concerned are you about the overall health of a couple of starters on this team?
Not overly. Craig Council meeting with the media here this morning said currently with Shaw, he said nothing's off the table. So sounds like there's still a chance he could be ready to go for the Japan trip. It seems unlikely, but they're not ruling it out. Nico sounds like will definitely not be going to Japan, but they feel really confident about his availability for opening day stateside here against the Diamondbacks at the end of March. So, it's a bummer. Obviously two key pieces aren't going to be available, but hopefully for a very limited amount of time.
Jim, realistically, you talked about that there is a slim chance that Matt Shaw could make that trip still. When would he need to start playing in games for that to be even a possibility?
I'm not sure how many at-bats he would need, what the ramp-up would look like. I think he's close to starting to play in some games. So it's different for every guy, and I think the key is how do you respond when you first get out there and you play. But obviously they're not going to want him to play every day, so it'd be play a day, take a day or two off, play again. So for me, he would need at least a week of game action and come out of that feeling healthy. That's kind of a doctor decision or trainer decision.
Does this starting staff, as currently constructed, have enough velocity, enough stuff, enough ability to miss bats so the overall pressure on the staff is properly lessened?
It's weird, right? It's not a high-octane staff, but it's a staff that performed really well last year. I know there's, you know, people anticipate maybe some regression. It might depend on how Wrigley Field plays. Last year, it was pretty pitcher-friendly. Tyone knows how to pitch. He gets outs. He's not going to rack up a ton of strikeouts. Fields, despite not being an overpowering guy, velocity wise, does get a decent amount of strength in. Hard for me to say. Ideally, in the modern game, right, you like a lot of guys that can throw 97 miles per hour and miss a bunch of bats. It's not the way this staff currently is set up. But I think they're going to be fine. I mean, I know that's kind of a wishy-washy answer, but I don't have great concern.
The reason I bring it up is because we're learning more about where we are with the third time through the order penalty. And there's been at least one study done that thinks we've overcorrected and that says that the overall cost of using higher leverage relievers for that third time through the order and the wear and tear on the high leverage bullpen, it might be worth asking some starters to try to stretch a little longer, an out or two. And especially looking at what has happened to the Cubs here in the last 2 years and the late season breakdowns of the high leverage bullpen, I'm wondering if the Cubs wouldn't be smart to be a team that considers some of that.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to wonder if in the evolution of the game, if we start using almost a pure six-man rotation and ask those guys to pitch deeper than they're currently pitching. So it's with roster, limitations on how many pitchers you can have in your staff, that's tough to pull off. If you had two guys at the top of your rotation that could give you seven innings, obviously not every time out, but average six and a third or something like that, that's going to take some heat off the bullpen. Probably the only other way to deal with that is just to make sure you have plenty of depth down in AAA and be able to make some in-season line changes, because guys are going to get tender, guys are going to start to wear out a little bit. And just shut guys down, bullpen guys, shut them down, just give them 10 days off. If they start to feel a little tender, and have a plan that you can bring up in the minor league. So the roster shuffle is becoming more and more important to have that many more arms available to get out.
We have a lot of things that are established, injuries notwithstanding, Jim, as we look at the way spring training is kind of picking up. And we know the Cubs get an earlier start than everybody else but the Dodgers, because that's who they'll see in Tokyo. What interests you the most about the whether it's a roster battle, a position battle, what interests you the most with a team that's pretty established and who's going to do what?
Yeah, every spring training we come into camp and we start thinking about who's going to make the team. And by and large, most major league teams know what their roster is going to look like on opening day. Injuries will change the nature of that a little bit. So there's not necessarily a lot of position battles here. I think the one thing that gets my attention is I do feel like there's more pitching depth. I think there's going to be guys down at AAA that are stretched out, ready to start, that can come up and help if needed. And maybe some of those guys actually end up converting into bullpen pieces. The Rule 5 kid, Workman, I'm a little bit intrigued by him. If Nico is down, Shaw is down, obviously his chances of making the ball club are get a whole lot better. He's a good-looking defender, and he's had pretty good at-bats out here. He hasn't played above AA, so that's a little bit of a question mark. But those kinds of questions, Workman, Brujan, what do they sit into the picture? What ultimately is the makeup of the bullpen and who fills what roles? Craig Council really stresses over. He just wants a good bullpen. He wants a bunch of good arms. And I'm on board with that. I think we sometimes get a little too caught up in who's going to be the closer, who's going to be the setup guy. Just give me a bunch of good arms and we'll figure it out.
I've been a little surprised, Jim, at just to whom I've had to explain how many people have not been aware how good Kyle Tucker is. And maybe he's just got some level of like anodyne anonymity. But when I say, no, this is one of the best players in baseball who's on the Cubs, I get these weird looks. It's like, don't make me have to do a PowerPoint here to explain why this is one of the very best players in baseball. And it still feels to me like people don't understand how good he is.
Yeah, for whatever reason, especially with all the winning that the Astros have done. So they've been in the postseason a bunch, so there's been a lot of exposure. But I guess, when you've got Altuve and, Yordan Alvarez and, a lot of star power over there, and he's kind of a quiet guy, so maybe he flies beneath the radar a little bit. But yeah, the guy's a stud. I mean, he's He's a top 10 player in the league. He's a tremendous offensive player. He's a good outfielder. He's a good base runner. He does everything well. He's been great in the big moments. I'm with you. I think a lot of people don't really understand how good a player he is. And, how many teams in the offseason went out and acquired their best player? Now, as soon as he became a Cub, you're like, okay, he's the best player on the team. Probably only happened two or three other places in baseball.
We are talking baseball with Cubs analyst Jim Deshays from Marquee Sports Network. And Jim, we heard on the way in here Justin Tucker talking about taking balls at third base. I'm just curious as to how effective a guy at his age, who is clearly a professional bat with postseason experience and everything else, how much do you want to see him out there? Because you don't want to spread him too thin. You need this guy in a way, but also you want to make sure that he's good to go and stays healthy all season long.
Yeah, I don't anticipate. He's just being a pro, right? He's taking ground balls over there, getting his arm stretched out, being prepared if they ask him to play over there. But I don't get the sense that that's ultimately anything we're going to see a whole lot of, and maybe we won't see at all. I think that's not plan B. That's probably more like plan C or D.
Seems like that plan C might be necessary, though, as far as Tokyo goes. If there is no Matt Shaw, there is no Nico Horner, as I expect anyway, as the way things have gone. I'm just curious as to who do you think is going to be in that opening day lineup if it's not Horner and it's not Shaw, as far as those first two games go.
Well, Birdie can play third base. He's played third base more than, I think, anywhere else on the field. He's a guy that plays all over, but I think he's comfortable at third base. I mean, I'll give you some idea of the versatility of Birdie. He made his professional debut as a first baseman in the division series last year. That's how much confidence they have in his, positional versatility. Brujan, the utility guy, can play third base. And Workman, the Rule 5 guy, if he's on the club, he can play third base. So I think there are a number of options before they would turn to Turner to play third base. I could be proven wrong on that, but that's just my sense.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
I don't know if you hear it from other broadcasters, but when you have the opportunity to describe and enjoy somebody like PCA, that Pete Crow Armstrong makes games fascinating the moment he's on base. And I do think it was nice that they let him affect games, too. They didn't necessarily put the restrictor plate on him. And they said if he wants to do some of that bouncing and jumping around, and he's got a little bit of hot dog in him that they're gonna try to cultivate, which is cool by me. But if that second half that he had as a predictor, he's an all-star.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if he proves to be a league average offensive player, then he's a multi-time all-star in his career, because he's such a good defender and he's so dangerous on the bases. But yeah, there's a lot more in there. There's more power than people realize. The only thing that's currently lacking is doesn't take a lot of walks. But and that's the other thing with a young player, right? He's still just a kid. You don't want to put too much on his plate. You don't want to try to rein him in. Just go play. And then, as he develops, if he makes mistakes in the field or on the bases, obviously you have conversations with the player. But in terms of trying to calm down his game, I don't think that's in the cards. It's like, just go be you.
I believe that the comp for him, I want to say somebody at FanGraphs said a sustained replication of that second half last year puts him on a like peak Lorenzo Cain level. Like you're talking a 5-win, maybe even a 6-win player, like you say, because the moment he steps on the field with that high quality defense, he's the value just starts accruing.
Yeah, and it's hard to quantify, but the other piece of it too is when you have that kind of speed on the bases, the pressure that it puts on the defense. You see, guys, we saw in the game here the other day, center fielder misplayed a ball, an overthrow into center field. PCA was running. And he mishandled the ball because he was in a hurry to make a play. And Crow Armstrong comes all the way around to score on the play. He just puts a lot of pressure on the defense. He gets in the pitcher's head when he's on base. He's just a disruptor.
When you talk about Crow Armstrong, he's an obvious choice for a guy that could take another step this season just because of his youth and how he did play in the second half. I'm curious, Jim, is there anybody, pitcher or position player, that you're looking at as primed to take another step forward? I mean, with the teams full of so many veterans and guys who are established in what they do year in, year out.
Yeah, Miguel Amaya would be the guy. His story was somewhat similar to PCA's. It really struggled early, and then last couple of months of the season, figured some things out, changed his approach to the plate a little bit, and had a real nice finish to his season. So we'll see if he's able to sustain that. I think overall the catching situations, if Amaya is able to provide some kind of offensive lift, I think with he and Kelly, they got a nice little combo back there. Carson Kelly's really good in terms of game calling and some aspects of the defensive work. And he brings a little power to the position as well. So I think they're a lot better suited at the catcher position at this point this year than they were last year. Jan Gomes never got it going. Amaya really struggled. So I expect the catching position to be an upgrade. And I'm curious to see if Amaya is able to sustain what he did in the second half of last year.
Is Kelly the kind of receiver that you prefer, that sort of quiet presence back there rather than jumpy and athletic?
Yeah, I mean, it's pitchers are all different in terms of what they like. I always like the guy with the quiet setup. And there's a lot of debate about, down on a knee and snatching the ball, going low to high, not providing a target. I think if you're a command guy, you maybe want a catcher that's a little quieter back there. If you're a stuffed guy, you want a guy who's mobile and is stealing you strikes. And ideally, you get a guy who is capable of doing both. I haven't seen a lot of Kelly. Basing most of my assessment on reputation and what I've read and what I've heard from other people. But I think he's going to be real good back there.
JD, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Great to be with you guys. See you soon.
See ya. That's Jim DeShays.
Thanks, Jim.
The marquee analyst for Cubs baseball next to Boog Shambi.
I thought that the Miguel Amaya thing, or I'm sorry, I think that the Miguel Amaya thing is going to be very interesting because I've kind of watched and kind of expected more than what we've seen, but he showed you a little something, as he said, like in the back half last year, but you want that consistency. That position is so important.
Yeah, I've heard Bruce Levine trying to assess the possibility of the split in total number of games caught, and that he thinks Amaya is going to be about a 90-game catcher.
So like a 60%.
About that. And then if that would be the proper workload to maybe build him into somebody who's 110, 120 game kind of catcher. But this is catcher's a lot like running back now.
In that you split the work.
Yep. Yep. It takes a toll on you, and you need right matchup, right time, and you are going to have pitchers with preferences.
And also, I think what I like about that idea is if he does get hot, you can always DH him in terms of at the plate, so he could still feel involved in the game regardless and be a good bat off the bench as well.
847. So what happened to last year's midseason call-up catcher? That would be Christian Bethencourt, who was incredible last year. But that, I don't think anybody who saw that thinks from a 32-year-old who just came in and got hot that's sustainable. It's not. I think they were happy to have it because it carried him for a while, but that's not an everyday catcher. That's a replacement level guy that you're happy to have in the organization.
That would be your idea of variance then? The way he played at the end of last year.
Yeah. I mean, good players can play badly for a while. Bad players can play great.
Just catch them when they're hot.
Hey, man, White Sox fans remember that season Ron Hassey had? Come on now. You're maybe 86 was that crazy Ron Hassey year. Well, for half a year, he was Babe Ruth. The guy was incredible.
There's been a lot of guys with a lot of half seasons or even quarter seasons like that.
Brian LaHare made an all-star team. Come on, it's baseball. This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. The Bulls got a tank win last night by losing. Because thankfully Zubats played, because they don't know, they've never known what to do with that big, massive hunk of man.
Yeah, the problem is other teams were like, we're going to just keep pace with you.
I know.
We will talk all things Bulls when we come back. Bernstein and Harris, 670 The Score.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.